Today's shiur is Masechta Yevamos, Daf Tzadik Dalet, and we will begin on Daf Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis, at the end of five lines from the bottom of the Amud. In the previous shiur, the Gemara had discussed a shaila of whether an Eid Echad is believed to allow a woman to marry her Yavam. And as we had learned, the Gemara proved from our Mishnah that indeed an Eid Echad is believed to allow a woman to marry her Yavam. What the Gemara will do now is say that our Mishnah is not needed to prove that halacha. That indeed can be proven from a different Mishnah, and our Gemara will use our Mishnah to answer a different shaila. Ikad Amri, Halo Tabaylach. There's no shaila that a Eid Echad is believed to allow a woman to marry her Yavam. The Fili Ihi Nami Mehemna. She herself is also believed. The Tanan, as we will learn in the Mishnah, Heisha Sha'amra Meisbali. If a woman says, my husband passed away, Tanase, she may marry another man. Meisbali. Similarly, she is believed to say her husband died, Tishyabim, and she should be allowed to be taken in Yibum. So we see clearly that Eid Echad is Neman. Just like she is Neman, that she is believed, so too an Eid Echad is believed. Says Taisus, our previous version of the Gemara, which did not want to use this Mishnah to prove it, says Taisvis, because although this Mishnah clearly says that she is believed, and as we've been learning in this entire perek, because when she says something, daiko mitzvah, she will properly investigate to make sure what she is saying is accurate. The fact that won't have necessarily any bearing on believing in Eid Echad, because maybe we're concerned that if an Eid Echad will say testimony, she will not do the proper investigation. And hence, the first version of our Gemara said we can't prove from the fact that she is believed that an Eid Echad is similarly believed. But according to this version, just like we see that she is believed, so too an Eid Echad is believed. However, ki tabaylach, what is a question that still needs resolution? Lemishri yivam al alma. When an Eid Echad is believed to allow a yivama to marry other people. And as Rashi explains, there are two circumstances the Gemara is referring to. One is that a woman husband died and they had no children. The husband never had any children. So she is a candidate for Yibam. And then she's told that the Yavam died. Is an Eid Echad Neman with that testimony? Another situation that Rashi says the Gemara is discussing is the situation where a man and his child went overseas, leaving behind a wife and a brother. And then an Eid Echad testified that first the husband died, and then the child died, and since the husband died first, and when he died, there was still a child, she is not a candidate for Yibum. The Rosh disagrees with Rashi, and the Rosh says that is not a Shaila. The only situation the Gemara is referring to is a situation where a woman, husband died without children, and then there's a testimony that the Yavam died. The difference between the two situations is, the first case, the woman is a woman that has a status, everyone knows, that will require Yibam, because her husband didn't have children. That's why it's more of a difference than in the second case, where the woman never had a chazaka that she would require Yibam, because it was always the situation that she had, that the husband had a child. So the question now is, can we rely on an Eid Echad to say that she is no longer requiring Yibam? Because my tamadet echad. Why do we normally rely on an echad? A person won't lie about something that can be ultimately revealed. Here too, the husband could show up. The yavam could show up. Hachanami loy shaker. If the yavam will show up, therefore we could trust the eid echad. Adil matamadeid echad. Maybe the reason why we rely on eid echad is mishum the iyadaiko mintsaba. Because a woman is always careful to investigate what is being testified by an eid echad. For haloy daiko mintsaba. Here, she will not carefully check what he says. The misnahu sanyalei, because she hates the yavam. And the Rishonim make a very important point here that's used in helping us understand this Gemara. Although in the previous Gemara, the Gemara clearly said that even though we should have a concern that she's fond of the yavam, and therefore she may not properly investigate when an eid echad says that her husband died, she'll accept what he says in order to be able to marry the yavam. The Gemara says we weren't concerned about that. And that's why, according to both versions, the version that we learned in the previous year and the version that we learned in today's year, everybody agrees that an echad could be trusted to say that a husband died and a woman should have yibum. But here we're saying that we won't trust an echad to say that she's not a candidate for yibum. Why should we trust an eid echad less here? Says Tosfos that the element, the midah of fear, of hate, is a lot stronger than the midah of love. So therefore, yes, she may like the yavam. She may want to marry the yavam. But that won't prevent her from doing the proper investigation. However, here where the situation is that she doesn't want to marry the yavam. The misnasanyalei, she hates the yavam. That characteristic of fear that exists here will cause her not to do the proper investigation, and therefore perhaps we should not trust when it's said by an echad that she no longer is a candidate for yibam because her yavam died. It says Rabbi Kivega, from here we see that there is no difference whether the Isser under discussion is an Isser Kares or an Isser Lav. Because says Rabbi Kivega, one could argue that what would be the worst case scenario here? The worst case scenario is that she indeed is requiring Yibum and she won't have Yibum. What would be the Isser? It'll be an Isser Lav. Till now, when we've been discussing in our Perek, where there's an Eishes Ish, when Eid Echad says that her husband died, if that Eishes Ish gets married, we have really a situation of a Chiv Karis, an Eishes Ish living with another man. Here, where we only have an Issa Lav, one would maybe suggest, certainly we should trust an Eid Echad. It's only an Issa Lav. Says Riki Vega, since our Gemara does not include that into the thought process of our Gemara, so it's obvious that when we're dealing with an Isser of Erva, it makes no difference if it's an Eid Echad, it makes no difference if it's a Lav, or it's an Isser Karis. We need to make sure, is this a circumstance that we could trust an Eid Echad, otherwise we require to aid him. The Mefarshim also discuss that our Gemara just questioned what is the power of an Eid Echad. Is the power that perhaps the whole issue of an Eid Echad is because it's a Milsta Vida Legluya, the person's, what he says can ultimately be revealed if it was true or not. If he says the Yavam died and then actually the Yavam didn't die, and therefore Eid Echad will not lie under those circumstances. Mefarshim discuss what is the lumdus of Milsta Vida Legluya LeMishakri Inshi. Is it because it's a chazaka? We have a chazaka that under such circumstances people don't lie? Or is it a roif? Nafkamina will be, one nafkamina is that we do not rely on roif, we do not rely on roif when we're dealing with dine mamonis. So if it's a chazaka, so even for questions of monetary issues, we could rely on a milsta vida legluya. If on the other hand, it's an issue of roif, we cannot rely on milsta vida legluya. The same question would be regarding an akum. Could rely on an akum when it's a milsa David legluyer. Chazakah may be applicable by an akum. Roiv is not necessarily applicable by an akum. So that's the Gemara Shaila now. Can we trust an Eid Echad to say that this woman's Yavam passed away and she no longer requires Yibam? Amal hu Rav Sheshes. Now Rav Sheshes says to Nesua, our Mishnah will answer that Shaila. The Mishnah said, Amal hu Meis Baleich, if they came, they told her, first your husband died. Vakach Meis Baneich. And then they said, your child died. Venisis. And based on this information, she went and got married. Vakach Amaloi Chilif HaYodvarim. And then they come and tell her that the opposite happened. Taitse. So she has to leave a second husband. Vavlad Rishmach Ramamzer. And the children born from her marrying someone besides the Yavam are Mamzerim. As we explained in the previous year, because Al Gemara is going according to Rabbi Kiva, who holds that even from Chai V'Lavin there are Mamzerim. Heichidami. Exactly who testified in this situation? Ilay Mitrei Trei, that the first testimony was said by two Edim, and the second testimony was again said by two Edim. So then the question is, my chazas, the Sam Chazahani, why are we relying on the second set of witnesses? And that's why we say that if she married someone who's not her Yavam, she may not remain with him. Smoy Chahani, why don't we rely on the first set of witnesses? It's both two people. Void, furthermore, the Mishnah calls this child born from this woman marrying this man who isn't her Yavam a Mamzer. Why is he a Mamzer? He's a Suffolk Mamzer, because maybe she was allowed to marry this man. V'chitema, you could perhaps argue, like Doc, when the Mishnah calls the child born a Mamzer, it doesn't really mean that he's a Mamzer, he's a Suffolk Mamzer, and the Mishnah wasn't being that exact with its words. I'll prove to you that that's not true. We'll prove that the Mishnah is being very accurate and very careful in the wording it used. Because Hamid Tani Seifa, Harisha Mamzer, V'achra Mamzer, then in the case where a woman received testimony that her husband died, and she married a man based on that testimony. There's a different, and then it turns out that when she married him, her husband was really alive. He only died later. So there's a difference when the child was born before the husband actually died, when she was still an Eish HaSisha, therefore the child born from her and another man is a Mamzer, versus if her husband, if the child was born after her first husband died, then the child would not be a Mamzer. And the Mishnah is very detailed in teaching us Harisha Mamzer, the child born before the husband died is a Mamzer, V'achman, the child born afterwards is ain't a Mamzer. Shmam into the Dafkit Tani. So we see our Mishnah is being very careful. So we can't just say the Mishnah uses the word Mamzer and it means Suffolk Zamzer. Elalav, what must be the case of the Mishnah? The Chad. The one witness came and said that first your husband died, and then your son died, and therefore you're not a candidate for Yibam. And only Tam the Osbe Treach Shua, and afterwards two witnesses rejected what the first witness said, and that's why we believe them. Halav Hachi, if it wouldn't be such a case, Mehemen, we would trust a single witness. So we have a proof that an Eid Echad is Neman to say to a woman she's not a candidate for Yibam. Says the Gemara Lo'olam Trei V'Trei. We will explain our Mishnah talking about the first two witnesses said one version, and then two witnesses said the opposite version. The question is, what makes the second pair any stronger than the first pair? Could Amar of Achba Menyuma be'eden Hazoma? As Rav Achman Yuma explains, another situation that's referring to Eide Hazoma, Hochnam be'eden Hazoma. As we know, the Torah speaks about Edom Zomerim. The Torah says that if two witnesses say testimony regarding any specific subject, and then another two witnesses come and say, how could you say this testimony, Imanu Hayisem, how could you say you saw this event at this time, in this place, you were with us at that time elsewhere? So the halacha is, we believe the second pair, even though one could certainly argue that why is the second pair any more to be trusted than the first pair? The Torah teaches us that then, that in the case of Eide Hazama, we always follow the second pair. So here too, says the Gemara, there were two witnesses that said she's not a candidate for Yibam, because only perhaps two witnesses could be believed to say such a thing. I, therefore, question comes up, why are the second pair more powerful? Because they were Eidei Hazama. But ask the Aruch Lener, if that's the way we're explaining our Mishnah, that the power of the Hachosha, the power of the second pair, is because they're Eidei Hazama, so why do they have to, Mishnah, include Chiluf HaDvarim? That's part of their testimony, they said, the opposite of what you said happened. You said the first, the husband died, and then the son, really was the opposite. First the son, and then the husband died. Ask the Aruch Lener, that's not the reason why they believe. They believe because they're saying Imanu Yisem. Says the Aruch Lener, Enochanami, that the Mishnah could have just said that the second pair said you should not be believed the first pair because Imanu Yisem. The Mishnah included in their testimony that not only are you not to be believed because you're Edom Zomim, but also you're not to be believed because the story you're saying just the opposite happened, because the Mishnah wants to prove that without our Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Akiva, that the child therefore that will be have been born from her marrying another man who is a Chai V'Lavin is a Mamzer, which according to Rabbi Akiva, as we've learned so many times, the child born in such circumstance from a Chai V'Lavin is a Mamzer. Amalei, so now the Gemara is still trying to answer our Shaila. Is an Eid Echad believed to say that a woman does not have to have Yibam, she can marry anyone? Amalei Ramat Chlervashi, Ramalei Rav Achlervashi, Toshma, Ein Isha Nemen, Slami Mes Yibam Isha Nasi. A woman is not believed to say, my Yavam died, and I can marry someone else. V'loi Mes Achoisi, Shekonis Labesoi. Nor she is believed to say that my sister died, that I can marry her husband. Because as we know, the halach is, we're going to be spending a lot of time discussing this thing, that a man cannot marry Achois Ishtoi, his wife's sister, even if he divorces his wife, he cannot marry his sister, unless her sister died, then he can marry his sister. So what do we see? He nihi Deloi Mehemna. That the woman is not believed to say that my Yavam died, and therefore I'm not required to have Yibam. Her Eid Echad, the Deek in the Mishnah is, that an Eid Echad Mehemen would be believed. Ask the Gemara, L'tameich, let's continue learning that Mishnah. Eima Sefer. The Sefer said, Ein Ish Neman Loimer Meis Ochi Shiyavmes Ishtai. A man is not believed to say, my brother died in order that I should be able to do Yibam with his wife. V'loi Meisa Ishti. Nor can a man say, my wife died, she'esas achoysa, that now I'm allowed to marry her sister. So again, following the diik that we made of the reish of the Mishnah, we would make the following diik. Who need the loy mehemen? It's he that's not believed to say this. Ha'eid echad. The diik, as we made earlier, would be, that ha'eid echad mehemen should be believed. Ask the Gemara. Bishlam agabi isha. We can understand why by a woman we accept the testimony of an Eid Echad. Because as we've been learning from the beginning of the Perek, Mishmigiuna Kilabar Rabbanan, Chazal did not want to leave a woman without any options of marriage, and that's why they were more lenient and they relied on Eid Echad. Al Gabi Ish, but regarding a man is allowed to marry more than one woman. So why should it be Meikel? Michael Maimon, why should we rely on an Eid Echad? So there's a number of very important points to be made here. One point is, the Gemara here is distinguishing, differentiating between a man and a woman. By a woman, we rely on Eid Echad because of the concept of Mishmiguna Kula Barabonim. By a man, we don't have a reason to be lenient because he can marry more than one wife. Ask the Mefarshim, what will be the halacha nowadays when we have the Chayim de Beinu Gershim, that a man also may not marry more than one woman? Should we now say that the same concept applies? Mishumiguna, that this man should not be left alone and we can rely on the testimony of an Eid Echad to establish the death of his missing wife and allow him to remarry? There are Paiskim that hold that way. However, the Beis Shmuel disagrees, and he holds that even after the Chayim of Rabbeinu Gershom is in place, the halacha that the Mishnah teaches us, that we just learned in our Gemara, that there's a difference between a man and a woman, doesn't change. Now Tysus also asks the question. Tysus asks that the Gemara made a diuk in the Sefer that the man is not believed, but Eid Echad is believed. And the Gemara says that diuk doesn't make sense, because why should Eid Echad be believed? There's no issue of an iguna. Ask Tysus, actually in the Reisha we could have made the same diuk, because the Reisha said that a woman is not believed Mesa Chosi, that my sister died, Kadesh Tei Kanis Labesa, in order that I should be allowed to marry her husband. As Tysus, again, here there's no issue of Iguna, so she won't be able to marry her sister's husband. There are many other men in the world besides her sister's husband. So that should be the proof that we shouldn't trust an Eid Echad, even in the Reisha. Answers Tysus, there's a difference between a man and a woman. A man, says Tysus, has many more options in finding a wife than a woman. And since a man has many more options than a woman, therefore in the Reisha, we would truly, perhaps, even though we're not going to trust the woman, rely on Eid Echad. It is considered a situation of Iguna, because the only man that she may be able to marry is her brother-in-law, and therefore we'll trust an Eid Echad to say that her sister passed away. She's not believed, but Eid Echad is believed. In the Sefer, where it's an issue of the man getting married, men have it much easier to get married, and therefore we won't rely not on him, nor on Eid Echad. Say the Paiskim. I saw this in the Shalos of Tshuvas Chelkos Yaakov. From here we see how Chazal took this concept of Mishimiguna Kilbar Rabbonim. Not only did Chazal apply to a situation, as we've been learning, where there's a serious concern, we have Eid Echad, that a woman's husband passed away, but even in a case where it's an issue that they may not be able to marry the one man, and this may be that one man, that's the only man that's going to be available to this woman to marry, even though she, with no question, can marry the rest of the world. Chazal were concerned for the women. Chazal were concerned that the women should be able to find a husband, and therefore applied the concept of Mishimaguna Kila Rabbanan in a very broad way. So if that's the case, what is the Mishnah coming to teach us? El Kitzrich, Rabbi Kiva Itzrich. The point of the Mishnah is teaching us, according to Rabbi Kiva, Sakadat Chamina. As we've been explaining, Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that even from a Chayv Lavin, there's a Mamza. Ema, Chay Shaka Kula. So therefore, maybe we can say that a woman will be very careful, since we have a situation that if the woman will marry someone who she's not allowed to, according to Rabbi Kiva, the child will be a mamzer, and therefore Daika should be very careful before she says that her yavim died. Because according to Rabbi Kiva, when she says that her yavim died, and if it's not true and she'll marry someone else, if she's a yavam or a shuk, the child will be a mamzer, because it's a chai v'lavin, kamash malon, that's what the Tana is teaching us, that nevertheless she's not believed. But we can't prove from this Mishnah that an eight echod is believed by a Yavama. Rav Amar, so Rav attempts a different proof. Rav Amar, Eid Echad nem b'Yavama b'kav chayma. We could prove that an Eid Echad is to be believed by, to say that a woman is not a candidate from Yavam to Yavam from a kav chayma. If l'issa karis hitarta, if we rely on Eid Echad to allow an Eishas Ish to marry, certainly, Lissalav Lakoshkein, can't we rely on Eid Echad for only something which is an Issalav? So the way Rashi explains it, Rashi explains that the Kavachomer is, if we trust, if we allow an Eid Echad, if we rely on an Eid Echad to allow an Eishas Ish to get married, we certainly can rely on Eid Echad for Yavama to get married. Yavama Lashuk is only Chiyav Lav. Ask Tysfus. As we've learned earlier, there's a special reason, perhaps, not to trust by a Yavama with an Eid Echad. because as we've learned earlier this year, a woman doesn't want to marry her yavam because she hates him. And that emotion of hate, as we explained earlier, is a very powerful emotion. That emotion doesn't apply b'neishas ish. Therefore, Tosfos learns the Kal Vachomer differently. He learns the Kal Vachomer from an aid. If an aid is to be trusted that the husband died and she's allowed to marry a yavam, certainly, even though by saying this, the Isser Eishes Ish, Eishes Ach, which is Isser Kares, becomes mutter, certainly, when he's saying Eidus, that she can marry Lashuk, which is only an Isser Lav, he is to be trusted. And that answers the Gemara. Omlai Humer Abonel, he asks Metachiach, but the proof could be from the case where the woman herself testifies that we could prove that the Kal Vachomer is incorrect. The Lissachar is Hatarta. We trust her to say that her husband died, even though it's a Shiloh and Issachar, she's an Eishes Ish. Lissalaf, how we do not trust her to say that her Yavam died and she should be allowed to marry Lashuk. Why do we differentiate? This is only an Issa Lav, and this is an Issa Karis. The Kiv and the Zimda the Samuel, as we've been explaining, since he hates her, Loidaika Mintzibah. She's not careful before she marries, and just will say it and get married to someone else, and not to the Yavam. Eid Echot Nami, the same thing when an Eid Echot says that the Yavam died, we can't trust the Kim, the Zimna, the Sanyale, since she hates the Yavam, Loidaiko Mintzibah. So as we explained, we can't prove from an Ishes Ish, even though it's a more serious Aveira to Yavam. Says the Gemara, Zem Medrash Darash Rebelozim Amasya. We learned in the Mishnah, a Drasha, the Rebelozim Amasya taught us. He discussed the situation of who is considered a divorcee that may not marry a kohen. And he said that only a woman divorced from a legal husband is prohibited to a kohen, but not a woman who had a get from a man who's really not a husband. Amar Yudha Marav, Rav Lezer could have learned a pearl. He could have used this pasuk to teach us a beautiful limud, and he taught us to seem something that's insignificant. Of course, if it's not a married man, if it's a man that's really not married to her, then she's not considered his grusha. Mabiganasa, what could have he learned which was so much more beautiful? The Tanya. The pasuk says, Isha grusha b'misha, a kohen is not allowed to marry a woman who's divorced from her husband. Says the Gemara, Afila in this garsha elam isha, if she's only divorced from her husband, and not permitted to any other man. The husband, when he gave the get, said to her, you're divorced from me, but you're not allowed to marry any other man. So this get is really a very meaningless get. Because the point of a get is that she should be allowed to marry other men, and here she's not going to be allowed to marry any other man. Still, the halacha is psul kuna. And that's what the pasuk is saying. V'isha grusha me'isha. The only thing that the get accomplished is that me'isha, she can no longer live with her husband. She's not permitted to any other man. Hainu recha get the psul kuna. That's what you should have learned from this pasuk. In fact, there's a very interesting word for Ramei Shapiro. Ramei Shapiro says that the pasuk that discusses who a kohen may not marry says isha zaynav chalol lo yikachu v'isha grusha me'isha lo yikachu. A kohen is not going to marry a zaynav, a chalol, or as we're learning now, a grusha. So he asks, why does the pasuk separate a divorcee from a zaynav and a chalol? So he says the Torah is very exact. He says a zaynav and a chalol did an aveira, so certainly a kohen should not marry such women. But a grusha, a woman who's got divorced from her husband, she didn't do any aveira. That's why the Torah is saying that even though they are different, still, a kohen can't marry any of these women, but keep them in separate categories. Don't put the grusha, who didn't do an aveira, into the same category as the zayna chalala, who did an aveira. The Mishnah now will discuss the situation of a man who marries his wife's sister when he learned that his wife died. As we explained earlier in the shir, the halacha is the man may marry his wife's sister after his wife dies. We have a situation that one's wife traveled overseas, abroad, and they came, they told him, your wife died. So he went and married his sister. If his wife is dead, he's allowed to marry his sister. And then his wife comes, Mataris Lachsor, he may go back to his wife. Umutter, furthermore, Mutter Bekroi Vishniya, he can marry the relatives of the second wife, Vishniya Mataris Bekroivov, and the second woman is permitted to marry his relatives, because the marriage was never considered a marriage. The Mesa Rishona, and after the first wife dies, not that she came back, but then she dies, Mutter Vishniya, he's allowed to marry the second woman. There are a number of points to be mentioned here. We have here a fundamental machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says that our Mishnah is referring to a situation of an Eid Echad. There was an Eid Echad that said that that came and said that his wife died. And that's based on that he went and married his sister-in-law. Tosfos disagrees. Because as Tosfos says, even though we've been learning that under certain circumstances we rely on Eid Echad, that's in the situation of Mishum Iguna Kilabar Rabbanan. Here there's no Igun. He can marry a different woman. Why does he have to marry his sister-in-law? And therefore Tosfos says our Mishnah is referring that to a situation where there were two Eidim. In fact, the Mefarshim ask, what is Pshat Rashi? Why would we say that we could rely on an Eid Echad here? So the Mashiach answers that our Mishnah is referring to a situation where Itaka should not have married his sister-in-law. He should not have relied on Eid Echad, but that's what he did. Other Mefarshim explain that even though normally we don't trust an Eid Echad, but here the Eid is saying two things. The Eid is saying that his wife died and that he's allowed to marry his sister-in-law. Since the Eid Echad is trusted as far as his wife is concerned, as we've been learning, this will be a case, say the Mefarshim, that Rashi will say, once an Eid Echad is trusted for one part, he's trusted for the rest. The Mefarshim also discuss, when we say here that he's allowed to marry the second wife, the sister, after his first wife does ultimately die, that's only if she was a single woman when he was married to his sister-in-law. But if she was, as we were learning the Gemara, married, once a man lives with an Eishes Ish, he's never allowed to go back to that woman. And then Tosfos says, that's not the situation the Mishnah refers to when it says, Mutter B'Shniya. Armaloi, the Mishnah continues, Mesa Ishtai, somebody was told your wife died, for Nasa Sechaisai, and he married his sister, her sister, and he had children with her. And then they come and tell him, when you married your wife's sister, your wife was still alive. But later on she died. So the halach is, Havlad Risha Mamzer, the children that were born before his wife died are Mamzerim, because Achois Ishtoi is in the Sakaris. But the child born after his wife died, so there's no longer an Isra of Achois Ishtoi, are not mamzerim, and a mamzer. Rabbi Yossi Omer, and the Gemara, we will explain Rabbi Yossi as we learn it in tomorrow's shir, so we'll just read what Rabbi Yossi says. Kol she'paisei aydei echerim, paisei aydei atzmai, v'kol she'en paisei aydei echerim, en paisei aydei atzmai. Continues the Gemara, in explaining how far to understand our Mishnah. Mishnah says, afgav de ozel ishto v'gisilim dina yoyim, the ruling that we learned in our Mishnah applies even in a case where his wife and brother-in-law traveled abroad. And when they learned of their death, he married the sister, and then the wife and the brother-in-law returned. V'hani hani nesu'in, the mitzvah eshtes geisoy agisoy. The wife of his brother-in-law, that means this woman, his wife's sister, now cannot go back to her husband. As we've been learning, if a woman gets married based on an Eid Echad and afterwards it turns out that her husband comes back, as we've been learning, she can't go back to her husband. Even though in this case, the woman will not be allowed to go back to her husband, his wife, his former sister-in-law, is Osir, Ishtar Sharia. He could go back to his wife. And we don't say, just like his sister-in-law cannot go back, who's now his second wife, cannot go back to her husband, he should not be able to go back to his wife. Rather, we say he could go back to his wife, and his sister-in-law can't go back to her husband. And the Rishonim explained it a little deeper, because since everybody would recognize that this second marriage was totally invalid, a person can't marry his sister-in-law if her sister is still alive, there will not be a reason to give a get to the sister-in-law, who is now his wife, and therefore, since there's no reason to give a get, there's no reason for him not to be able to go back to his first wife. Says the Gemara, Leimah Masnissin like Rabbi Akiva. It could be argued that our Mishnah is not consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Dear Rabbi Akiva, if we're going to try to understand Rabbi Akiva, Havlai Chos Krushosoi. This sister is the sister of his divorcee, and should be also to come back to him. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Kol Arayish B'Torah, Ein Tzrich Smeni Get. If a man marries any of the Rayas of the Torah, there's no reason to give a get, because there was no Kedushin. Chutz Me'eshes Ish, Shenisses Al Pi Bezdin. The exception to the rule is the case of where a man married a woman, Eishes Ish, got married based on the testimony of one eid, that requires Bezdin, as we explained always, she needs a special hetter from Bezdin. And there, since the second marriage, even though it never took effect, as we learned, it requires a get, she requires a get from the second husband, and therefore she can't remain with him, nor can she go back to the first husband. Rav Akiva adds another case. The wife of one's brother, v'chois ishoi, and the sister of one's wife. If a man marries one of these arayas, they require a get. If, as we just learned before, a get will be required, so that means that his first wife now becomes achois grushasai. Again, let's think through the story. A man got a report that his wife died and married his wife's sister. Then his wife, and actually the brother-in-law, but let's focus on his wife, comes back. So if Rabbi Akiva holds that he has to divorce his second wife, even though the Kedushin was never effective, because she was a chois ishtoi, because his wife was really not dead, but if Rabbi Akiva will acquire a get, then his first wife now turns out to be a chois grushasoi, and a chois grushasoi you can't live with. The Kiva then Rabbi Akiva boy get, but male itzerulei davalei a chois grushasoi. Ask the Gemara, our Mishnah could still be consistent with Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Because v'lav itmalo, omrav gidl, omrav chiba, yosef, omrav, hay eishes ach. The case of eishes ach, that Rabbi Akiva discussed the case of one marries the wife of one's brother. Hey chidomi, what is the case that Rabbi Akiva requires a get? Kigon shekidish ochiv as a isha, a man did kedushin with a woman, v'holach l'medim l'sayom, and then he went to Medina Siyam, v'shama shemes achiv, and then he heard that his brother died. So he went and he married his brother's wife, and then the brother comes back. Since the first marriage was only with kedushin, Amri Inchi, people may say, "Hi, hach kam to noav leb kedushin." The first kedushin, there was a condition in that kedushin, and therefore the stipulation, that t'nai, was never fulfilled, v'ashap nosif, and therefore the second marriage was a legal marriage. So if people will then see that the second husband terminates that marriage without giving a get, they can make the mistake that a get is not required to end the marriage. To prevent such a mistake, Rabbi Akiva says that the second husband has to give the woman a get, even though the marriage never took effect. Similarly, Hay achois isha nami. The case of achois isha, what is the story? Hey chidami. Kigon shekidish is isha v'olchum dinas ayom. A man was mekadish, he only did kedusha, not nesuin, with a woman. And then that woman went overseas. V'shamash meisa, and a report came that she passed away. So he went and he married his sister. Dami inshi. Again, since there was only a kedushin in the first marriage, people will say, "Hach kamaisa tanai havalem kedushin." There was a kedushin in the first kedushin. V'ayshap enosiv. The kedushin was never fulfilled. The kedushin was never kedushin. That's why the second marriage is a good marriage. And if they see that there's no get, they'll say that a marriage can end without a get. El nesuin. But if there was a case of nesuin, is that anyone could say that if the first marriage there was a nesuin, there's a tanai in nesuin? As we've learned so many times, nobody will assume there was a tanai in nesuin. Why would one not assume there was a tanai in nesuin? Because that would turn out, and nesuin means that it was a consummated marriage. And that will mean that they did a bilus nus. Since ein adam oisoi, oisa bilosoi bilus nus, there's no reason to be concerned that that happened, and that's why we could be confident that nobody will make any mistakes if the second marriage is terminated without a get, and therefore he could go back to his first wife because there is no issue of achois grushasai. Amalei, so therefore our Mishnah could still even be consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Amalei Rashi Rav Kahana, E Rabbi Kiva, if we're going to learn that our Mishnah could still be consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, listening Nami Achoisa, why didn't the Mishnah also speak about the case of one who married his mother-in-law after he heard that his wife died abroad? The Shemila Rabbi Kiva, doesn't Rabbi Kiva hold, even though it's an Isser for one to have relations with his mother-in-law? The Chiv Sreifa, the Oynish Sreifa is given if one has relations with his mother-in-law. Rabbi Kiva learns that after his wife dies, he can marry his mother-in-law. So why doesn't our Mishnah speak about that case? The Tanya. The Pasuk that talks about one not allowed to have relations with his mother-in-law. The Pasuk says, Beish yisroifu oisoi ve'esen. They should burn him and her in a fire. So what does oisoi ve'esen mean? Him and her. Who are the two people? Oisoi ve'achs mehen. Him and one of them. Div Rabbi Shmuel. That's what Rabbi Shmuel says. Rabbi Kiva im esoi ve'shteihem. According to Rabbi Shmuel, the way to understand the Pasuk, Rabbi Shmuel says that the Pasuk is teaching us Oisoi ve'esen hen means one. And the Pasuk is teaching us that a person is not allowed to have relations with his mother-in-law. According to Bekiva, it's talking about Oisoi ve'shteihem. It's talking about two people, the mother-in-law and the mother-in-law's mother. So Bishlam Labayim. So Abaye, in explaining this machloikis between Rabbi Shmuel and Bekiva, holds the Mashmas Darshanik Venayu. The machloikis between Rabbi Shmuel and Bekiva really is limited to how to define the pasuk. That means they both hold la halacha the exact same thing. That one may not have relations with his mother-in-law, and actually one may not have a relationship with his mother-in-law's mother, even after his wife died. The machloikis is, where do we learn about a mother-in-law's mother from? Rabbi Kiva learns it from this pasuk, and Rabbi Shmuel will learn it from a different pasuk. The Rabbi Shmuel saw a chadik siv. According to Rabbi Shmuel, the pasuk is only speaking about a mother-in-law. Rabbi Kiva saw a tatik siv. The pasuk speaking about the mother-in-law and her mother. But certainly, one may not have relations with his mother-in-law even after his wife died. So Shapur, so our Mishnah could be very well understood why the Mishnah doesn't include the mother-in-law, because the mother-in-law is never mutter. Ela Rava. According to Rava, the way to understand the machlokes of Shmuel and Rekiva, the nafkamina is, may one have relations with his mother-in-law after his wife's death? And he's going to say, Rekiva says that there is no sreifa after his wife dies if one has relations with his mother-in-law. So listening, Nami Chamoisoi, so why did the Mishnah speak about a case that one married his mother-in-law on the mistaken assumption that his wife died? Amalei, Nedmi to Kramis Sreifa. Yes, the Pasuk says that there is no Chiv Sreifa if one has relations with his mother-in-law after his wife dies. However, Misura Miata Kra, is there no Isser? Certainly there's still an Isser. And since there's certainly still an Isser, so the Mishnah is not going to discuss a case that anyway is Isser, one may not have relations with his mother-in-law, even though Rabbi Kiva will hold there's no Chiv Sreifa, it's still Isser. But there's a very fundamental machlokes rishonim. How far does the iser go on a mother-in-law after his wife died? According to Rekiva, according to Rava's explanation of Rekiva, Tosfos here on the Amid, the Rambam hold that there's still a chiyuv lav and there's still a chiyuv karis. However, the Ramban and the Rashba hold that the Isser is only an Isser Lav and not an Isser Karis. There will be, the Noida Behuda says that the Machloikis between the Rambam and Tosis versus the Ramban and Rashba, there are two Nafkaminas that the Noida Behuda makes out. One is, what would be the Halacha if one's mother-in-law is also his sister-in-law and she now forced him to Yibam and his wife is no longer alive? If there's an Issacharis, so as we've learned so many times in our Masechta, by an Issacharis, there is no Chiv Yibam or Chalitza. If she's only an Issalav, so as we've learned, really there should be a din of Esa Doichalaisa say, and she should be a din, candidate for Yibam or Chalitza. Chazal made it clear that she's not a candidate for Yibam, but she is a candidate for Chalitza. Similarly, the Noida Behuda says, the Aloch is that one's not allowed to marry his father-in-law's wife. Because of Maris Ayin, because it looks like it's his mother-in-law. What would be the halacha of marrying his father-in-law's wife after his father-in-law is no longer alive? If we say that the Issa mother-in-law is a very strong Issa, that even Rabbi Kiva, as Tosfos and the Rambam tell us, holds it's an Issa Lav and Karis, may not be an Issa Sreifa, but it's always an Issa Lav and Karis, so perhaps a father-in-law's wife would always be prohibited. But if, as the Ramban and Rashba learn, that it's only an Issalav, and here it's not even Issalav, because it wasn't his mother-in-law, it was his father-in-law's wife, and his father-in-law is no longer alive, and the Nabi Yehuda says that his wife is no longer alive, then perhaps the halacha would be that one can marry his father-in-law's wife.